Welcome back to Literature, Art, and the World. In today's episode, I will be going through stories that I wrote either a few years ago, last year, or like years and years ago. But let's get into it. I might just do narratives today. I might do part two of persuasive writing or like informative writing, but for now I'll just do my narratives. I got a few here. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. But I won't do all of them today. So the first one, the title, this is just the title of these Google Docs. It's Indigenous Story with Symbols. But most likely we have to create an artwork with these because we are learning about Indigenous symbols, which of Aboriginal people who are native to Australia. They're the first people. Actually, I live in Bundjalung country, because that's like a wide area, but yeah, just want to say that I'm recording in Bundjalung country and I pay my respects to them. But this isn't entirely like related to that. It's we were given these symbols, we had to create an artwork with them and also short like few sentences. This one only has like four sentences, but I'll read it anyways. The wind whistled through the sparse trees. Flowers and bush berries collected over the week were stored near the bright glowing fire. Overhead, dark clouds writhed and jerked above the dancing people. Fierce rain slithered down from above, making the fire hiss with smoke. Musty orange light collided with the faint mountains of afar. I think I wrote this... around 3 years ago. And I'll just be, going through them. They're all pretty old. That was the first one. I'm just gonna tick it off. Now another one is Stranded. This next one's, the title is Stranded, and we did need Pobble 365. 365, they're like just images where you gotta write a short story about them. And this one's like a lighthouse, an old lighthouse with a wave crashing on it. And here's these few sentences. We did these a lot in, 3 years ago, so that's why I've got heaps of them. The raging waves flooded the lighthouse floor. Thunder and lightning crowded the six stranded men. Eerie light filtered through the broken windows. They were thirsty and had been without food for several days. And that's it for that. They're all really short, but like, considering that it was 3 years ago, I think it was pretty good writing for them back then. We did this thing called Write On in primary school. Oh my god! I don't even know how many years ago this was. This was either 4 or 5 years ago, guys. Most likely 5. So, we'll see how this goes. It's called, well, the doc's called Write On. The actual, writing's called Georgina B. Okay, I'll read it. It's 500 words at max. We creep into the bonnet shop. Feeling so scared, we crouch and have a glance around. We would never be allowed in a place like this. Even if we only take one, that will give our family what it needs to survive. My heart pounds as sweat runs down my face. I can't believe I'm doing this. We hurry to find a bonnet each and stash them under our ragged clothes. We take them to the back exit of the shop to take them away. As we are walking out, someone in the shadows pulls Alice and I away. The last I see of the street is a shiny black door. Life returns to me after a bit. Glamorous halls filled with people fill up my eyes. this is the one place I would rather not be in. I reached down and grabbed my sister's hand. I find a bench 5 or 6 feet away. We sit. The boom of a hammer slams on a desk. My heart races to the noise. Explain yourself, yelled the officer. Georgia, Georgina B. and Alice B. are found guilty. Oh, explain yourself, Dr. Dot, yelled the officer. I don't know. As the guards stroll with us to prison, I squeeze my sister's hand and I whisper, it will be okay. I hold my breath as the guard pushes us, making us splat on the ground. The cell door closes with a creak. I wonder to myself if it will actually be okay. The week soars by as more and more convicts come in. At last, the prison is full. The guards at the front are not letting any more convicts in. People in prison are getting taken by guards to get sentenced again. It is our turn to go and get sentenced, I whisper to my sister. We were taken to where we were last sentenced. We find the bench that we had sat on when we were last here. Then the time came again. Georgina B. and Alice B. are sentenced to transportation, yelled the officer. We take step by step down the gloomy hallways to a little room, where they leave us locked in. Before we know, we are rushed away to the 11 ships. The officers had told us that our ship is called Charlotte. As I step on board, I say my goodbye to Britain. Life ahead is going to be hard. So this was when we were learning about the convicts and, the first fleet that came to Australia and how they came, with lots of convicts. I'm actually, I probably did my calculation wrong with, how many... it's 4 or 5 years ago. That was actually, considering that was 5 years ago, a pretty good story for me. It's not like the best writing, the commas aren't right, the punctuation's terrible. But otherwise, all the words are right and stuff. And I had autocorrect turned off on my iPad, which I used to write these stories, so, yeah. Oh. Writing. Alright, can't find that. I'm just gonna skip that. I'm gonna do through the clouds. I wrote all these down, through my docs and wrote down all my stories so I knew what to search up straight away. And some of these I might need to ask permission from people because they're shared stories. But Alright. Through the Clouds is a few paragraphs long. Under the scorching sun, the bright blue plane rumbled slowly. Oh, also this was another Pubble 365. I think it's 365, otherwise I'm saying it wrong, but Under the scorching sun, the bright blue plane rumbled slowly into the snowy clouds. Everything looked like tiny ants in the distance, ebbing away from sight. Shay had always wanted to look at the world from another perspective. She'd watched skydivers jump from various heights, but never had the guts to do it. The bees murmured, and the birds sang in the dark green trees. She looked up at the world above, knowing that today was the day for her to fulfill her dream. In the aeroplane, Shay put on her smoky black jumpsuit while she listened to dozens of complicated instructions. Finally, she learned how to use the parachute. Small tremors went through her body. She opened her mouth to unblock her ears. The plane had taken off. Leaning out of the plane, Shay looked down at the thin stretch of sand below her. She smelt a salty tang coming from the vast ocean. She heard the distant squawk of a bird calling to its friends. The sun looked down at Shay, encouraging her closet. I wrote closet, but I think it's meant to be closer to the edge. She stepped onto a small silver bar. Heart racing, she leaped. There was no turning back. Shay soared like a brown eagle through the fluffy clouds. Her body filled with joy like a balloon filled with helium. She looked down at the tiny specks on the ground, knowing that she had once been one of the specks. Her feet land safely on the glistening sand of the beach. Shay stared at the glorious sky with pride. She conquered her biggest fear. I'd just like to say, what is with these similes? She soared like a brown eagle through the fluffy clouds, and also, her body filled with joy like a balloon filled with helium. Oh, man. Not good. And, the tense is not right and everything. Pretty bad, but, you know, there's another one I did 3 years ago. Oh, man, I'm exposing myself here. This is so bad. The next one is based off the story that the Guardians book that I'm still kind of, like, working on, kind of. This one's the right one. I have heaps of different variations of Guardians. Most of them are, what's it called? Like little snippets like this, because I used to do these to end competitions, because I thought this was my best idea. But anyways, this is called The Dim Forest. It's a different variation of Guardians. This one's 500 words, so it's a bit long. The afternoon sun shined dimly through the thick, bushy forest. Cold wind brushed the autumn leaves, making them dance around the musty forest floor. Owen ran swiftly through the vast stretch of bushland, tripping over roots, branches, and logs. His head filled with the sound of birdsong, crows, magpies, and kookaburras. A rustling sound distracted him from the beautiful setting of the forest. Owen listened to the howl of a nearby wolf. I need to make a home, he thought. Owen lived with his mother, his sister, and dog, Star. It was the middle of the afternoon, and he was heading towards his favorite olive tree. His sister, Belle, had been annoying him, so to brush off any cranky thoughts, he always went to his amazing tree. He looked towards the bush, which was swaying frantically. He held his breath as a furry figure leaped out. Greetings, you must be Owen. We've been waiting for you to attend our school for guardian animals, the strange wolf howled. You can talk? I'm talking to an animal? Sorry, that's what I imagine it like being like. Owen swayed on his feet. Yes, the first time is always surprising, but you must believe me, she said. Okay, Owen said, regaining his confidence. I'm Smoke, head of the school. You can transform into a cat. Try it now. Owen followed the instructions Smoke was giving. Let your body accept the thought of being a cat. He focused his mind on the orders. Suddenly, a pulling feeling hit his body. He stumbled to the ground. He looked at his hands, but all he saw was small white paws. His green gaze settled on the grey wolf. I am ready for the school that you spoke of, Owen meowed. He followed her through the glistening forest. She stopped by a thorn bush. You must jump into the middle of the bush. It sounds crazy, but you have to do it, Smoke howled. He swiftly He swiftly ran towards the bush. With a mighty leap, he flew into the plant. He landed clumsily on the floor. Shiny white tiles glimmered in the light. The smell of sap clung tightly to the ivy-covered walls. He was at his new school. Smoke came up behind Owen. Follow me, she said. They head toward great wooden doors, embraced with golden swirls. Inside was a magnificent hall filled with tables, banners, and lots of different animals. Smoke whispered, line up with the others over on the brown stage. He trotted to... speech marks. That's annoying me. Anyways, he trotted towards the small line of animals, all the same size as him. Hi, I'm Tess, barked the little dog. I'm a dingo. I'm Owen, he said. Are you waiting to get your special guardian name as well? Yes. Your power as a dingo is a star's, Smoke howled. Star. Welcome. His new friend earned her new name. Your wisdom will show in your power to control the moon. Your new name is Moon. His eyes shone brightly in the sun. He was a guardian animal. So, originally, the guardian animals were going to be humans, then they turned into animals, but to me, I'm just gonna keep it simple, and they're starting off as animals. That's the current version. And this, if you know, Star and Moon are the side characters of my book. Their names aren't Tess and Owen. Their names are Star and Moon. And yeah, that's from Owen's perspective instead of Knight's perspective, so that's cool. This episode's been 15 minutes long, and I still have a few more stories to get through, so I'll try to go a bit, more, like, hurriedly. It's not a word, I don't think, but, oh well. Sorry if you hear my, family in the background as well. They're a bit noisy. Alright, this one is the worst writing I reckon I've ever done. This is, like, awful. It's not the worst writing, but I did it 2 years ago. Because I had no idea what to write. This was in another write-on. I had a thing, I had a picture, and I had 500 words, and it was so terrible. I hate it so much. It's just bad. Full stop. Just bad. It's just boring. But anyways, let's get into it. Dusky green trees flew past the car. The sun's rays spread luminous colours on the lake. Dark clouds were gathering on the horizon. "Are you daydreaming again?" Florida's mum sighed, looking back at her. Out of the corner of her eye, ears bobbed out of a bush. An orange creature jumped out a couple of seconds later. "Oh, mother, I saw a fox with a white-tipped tail and ears," Florida pointed. "That's nice," mumbled her mum, not really caring. "You don't believe me. I saw it. I really did," she shouted. "It is in the house. The snake is in the house." Florida stared at the scaly serpent on the ground. "Pepper, stay back." "Pepper, no." She could barely see the lifeless body of her beloved, fluffy, caring dog. Tears raced down Florida's cheek, landing on the floor. "I wish Pepper was here, and we were back in our old home," Florida said meekly. "We had to move. I could not bear to live in the city without your father." At the thought, her mum cupped her hands over her eyes and started to cry. "Why don't you go for a ride?" she said softly after a while. So I did a time skip. Originally they were in the car on the way to their new home. Then they were back in time. Then they were forwards and at the new house. So yeah, we're off. She's now on a ride. Florida pushed off the ground, pedaling towards a gravel path. Before she could reach it, a fox, the one near the road, leaped at her. Stunned, she fell off, hitting the ground. Everything went dark. Florida woke up, feeling something soft brush against her. Oh, what am I up to? She lifted her head to see flowers in lots of different colours and a brook, the centrepiece of it all, sending little waves to the pebbly shore. There was a slope beyond the brook. "Where am I?" She looked at the fox with awe. "Why am I talking to a fox?" Florida sighed. She looked up to see the storm clouds scattering rain everywhere. She would have to get home soon. Florida presumed that her home was over the hill. A loud crack, which was horribly deafening. Lightning came seconds later. That doesn't really make sense, but oh well. Hitting a eucalyptus tree, making it burst into flames. The fire was spreading, covering up trees at a tremendous speed. "Run! I know this is your home," she said when the fox put its ears down, "but it is not safe. Can you lead me home?" Florida ran after the fox. They would be safe beyond the hill. "I see stones. We can use them to cross." She hurried. The fox ran ahead. It slipped, letting out a yelp. Florida dipped her hand down, picking up the soggy animal. "We can do this together." They ran over the hill. Florida and the fox were safe. She looked behind her. Smoke clogged the air. The fox made a strange cough sound. That's what I imagined it being. But anyways, at the sight of her front door opening, she ran to her mother. "I'm glad to be home," she squeezed her mum tightly. "Can we keep Luna, please?" "Nice name, and yes, you deserve her." They stepped inside, Luna by her side. I don't know why there was a fox involved with this. I don't know why the fox could understand her or why. I don't even know. It's so confusing, but I don't really like that story. It just rushes everything in a short amount of time. So, yeah. Oh. Alright, next story. This is getting extremely long. Oh, I'm nearly done. These aren't that long. Whoa. Why are there like two window things? Okay, so this is my first copy I did, and then I redid it. I stared from behind my proud grandfather. Everything seemed so magical. The mighty polar bear that blended into the snow gazed at us with fiery eyes. Small, elegant-looking penguins shuffled along the sleek, icy blue bank. The grey turtle with a hard shell that could withstand anything like a solid rock moved slowly across the glistening ice. Crisp, star-like icicles formed fences between each animal's habitats. Gloomy light from the lamppost illuminated the pine forest full of shadows. It was like a mythical dream, but it had come to life just for Grandfather and I. My second copy is this one, my final draft. Miniature snowflakes danced across the crisp forest floor. Each pine tree had little specks of snow making up a dazzling blanket. Lights flickered out of each lamppost, reaching for the dark shadows, a gloomy yellow against a tranquil white. Small, elegant-looking penguins shuffled along the sleek, icy blue bank. The mighty polar bear that blended into the snow gazed at us with fiery eyes. The grey turtle with a hard shell that could withstand anything like a solid rock moved slowly across the glistening ice. Star-like icicles formed fences between each animal's habitats. I stared from behind my proud grandfather. Everything seemed so magical. It was like a mystical dream, but it had come to life for me. So I'd like kind of rewired it and stuff. But, that's the Winter King. This next one is Charlotte, my last name, week 4 work. So, yeah, you guys aren't gonna find out my last name, but, yep. Oh, I think I did this last year, actually. This is about, yeah, I did this last year. This was another Pebble 365, but it was a fish island. There was a story starter, so I'll read the story starter, then I'll tell you when it's my writing. It was morning on Fish Island. Jessica yawned lazily and stepped onto a sun-drenched porch outside her house. It was surely going to be the hottest day of the summer. Gently, she picked up the newspaper that had been recently delivered to her doorstep. The headline of the Fish Island Gazette read, "Troubling tremors torment townsfolk." She frowned. Jessica and her neighbors in the nearby town had indeed been troubled for some time by the mysterious quakes that had been occurring more and more frequently. On one occasion, the tremors had been so strong that several tiles from a roof had fallen off, shattering as they narrowly missed Jessica's daughter, who had been playing in the garden. They seemed to be getting worse. It was becoming a serious concern for the inhabitants of the island. Later that day, Jessica was holding her daughter's hand as they paddled in the deliciously warm crystal waters on the beach when she felt it. Another tremor. Scooping up her daughter in her arms, Jessica ran up the beach, fear building in the pit of her stomach. This one seemed worse than the ones before. Panic set in. This was the worst so far. They seemed to be moving. Looking over her shoulder, she could see ripples forming in the ocean. Now, from this part onwards is mine. My writing. They really were moving. Their small fish island was moving. Jessica clutched her daughter into her chest and ran away from the edge of the vibrating water. The waves were getting bigger by the second. Each time a wave crashed into a shore, it shook the ground. Jessica finally stumbled back to her home. She gently placed her daughter in her bed. Running out of the house, she sprinted towards the town hall. There was a microphone there that she could speak through to warn the town. "Prepare for a tsunami," Jessica yelled into the mic. "The island is moving. The waves are getting so high that we need to evacuate to higher ground immediately." As Jessica ran out of the town hall, she ran straight into her best friend, Lily. "Help me move everyone onto the town hall's roof. That is the highest place in our town," Jessica pleaded. "Okay, where do I start?" Lily asked. "There are so many people." "Start with the children. They listen to you, and they will have trouble getting onto the roof." Jessica gave a small nod, then started off towards the old people's home. Okay, so, first of all, I don't think a tsunami's gonna, like, knock off everybody from the town hall roof, but, I'm not gonna question that. Oh, then, here are some questions I had to answer from Pobble365. How do you think the fish came to where it is? So, I was imagining, the fish is under the island. The fish is part of an ancient family of big fish. When it was a baby fish, it used to swim in the lake where it is now. As it grew so big that the top of the fish's back stayed out of the water. And that's the island. How long has the fish been there? All the answers are mine, by the way. It has been there for thousands of years. How do Jessica and her daughter travel to the mainland? They don't. They don't know that on that land there are other humans. So they're like, think their town's the only town. Where do you think they get their shopping from? They get it from the shopping centre on Fish Island. That was the stupidest answer from me. What do you think will happen next in the story? They will evacuate Fish Island, then travel through the mainland and meet more humans. Is this an enormous fish or just a tiny house? This is an enormous fish. It is home to a whole town of people and animals. Alright, I'm not going to read the rest. That's boring. Because my throat is sore. You know what? I might leave it at that. I hope you enjoyed all these, like, short stories. I enjoyed looking back at them and rereading them. I'll read some more recent, like, bits of writing from me, and hopefully I can compare them. But yeah. Also, this book idea I have, I finally found a plot to it, so I might start writing that. It's really, like, for me, it's a pretty good plot to come up with. It's very complicated, but, yeah. Anyways, I've got 6 entries for the cover art contest. Liam from The Drawing Puddle, Sunrise from, I'm pretty sure it's Warriors and Wolf Sunrise's News, sorry if I'm wrong. Springport also sent me one, same with Hollyflight and Skystrike. They're all really good, thank you. And also it's Magic Round tomorrow, which means the NRL is at Suncorp Stadium and I get to go. But anyways, that's it from me. Thank you for listening to Literature Art in the World. Tune in for future episodes. Bye!